You are listening to the one and only Visionaries Wrestling Network, envisioning excellence and providing your perfect podcast experience.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Chris Talks Games. I'm Chris, and as the title says, I talk about games. So, gaming things going in 2020, got another podcast. Third of the year, which is quite scary. After I joined in with the Game Junkies last week with their top 10 of 2020. Interesting show today. Heading back to the soundtracks. I have had a couple of people request I do some more soundtracks, so looking at one particular game soundtrack I really like, and also have some news, so without further ado, let's go on with the news. Okay guys, so news today, a bit from all the different main console manufacturers. First up, I know last time I mentioned that Sony showed off the PlayStation 5 logo at CES. It wasn't particularly groundbreaking, but apparently it seems to be quite a big topic, because Sony actually broke records for a picture posted by a video game manufacturer on Instagram, with the picture of the PS5 logo being shared a record number of times. I think it's over 5 million. It's fair to say the PlayStation 5 logo took Instagram by storm. It broke the record for a video game company and an image that they've posted. So, a lot of people seem to like the PlayStation 5 logo and sharing it and liking it. So, yeah, something they did well for them. Everyone is expecting the PlayStation 5 to be unveiled in full soon. Since in the last year, I think a lot of places have been reporting there's rumours that there'll be a February presentation. So I reckon sometime in the next month we'll probably find out a bit more about the console. One rumour did say, like, right at the start of February, which I don't think is very likely because no one's heard anything about it. If they were holding a big event, they would have sent out press information and stuff like that would have got out. I don't think we're going to see it straight away in February. But I reckon in February we'll see a event of some sort for PlayStation 5, because I think a lot of people are talking about it being fairly soon, so it'll be interesting to see. The end of January also does mean that companies start releasing their quarterly results for, like, the last 3 months of the calendar year, so October, November, December. So Microsoft released theirs. Microsoft are a little weird in that they don't give out exact numbers for their consoles and things like that. Microsoft literally do just group everything together and they just report it as a heading, so all the Xbox stuff comes under the gaming department. And basically, in the latest set of financials, the gaming department was actually down about 17%, I believe. So, Microsoft are seeing a bit of a slowdown in their gaming department. Not helped by the fact that the hardware sales, which would be the Xbox One consoles, they did actually drop off 43% against the previous time in the previous year. But it isn't surprising, because they have unveiled what the Xbox Series X is going to look like. And it's confirmed to come later this year. So I think where we are in the lead up to the new consoles, we will see fewer Xboxes and PlayStation 4s being sold. So So yeah, it was quite a major drop, 43% off their hardware revenue. So I think Microsoft are hoping for a stronger start to the next generation. Yeah, you don't get specifics from Microsoft, but I know a lot of the analysts and people in the business do estimate that the Xbox One has sold somewhere between 48 million and 15,500,000, so somewhere in that range. But very few people have exact numbers for the actual consoles and things like that. So in terms of knowing exactly how the Xbox One's doing, it is a bit difficult. So yeah, it's worth remembering that number for when we talk about the Nintendo's results. January was one of the busy months for Nintendo, because out of the big three publisher, like game console manufacturers, they're the ones that actually had things announced and things that they showed off. The two main things they showed off was they had a Pokemon Direct. I think it got covered briefly in Game Junkies last week, but they did unveil the expansion pass for Pokemon Sword and Pokemon Shield. Personally, I'm quite excited for, because I wasn't a massive fan of the spin-off game mechanic where they added a third version of the same game effectively and like, made some changes and tweaks. So the fact you are getting an expansion pass where you can use your party and your Pokemon that you've already got, that really appeals to me rather than restarting it all. So yeah, that was the main thing that was announced in the Pokemon Direct, alongside a remake of Pokemon Rescue Dungeon, which I think is a really great art style. And there's a demo out. I haven't had a chance to play it yet, because I have been playing some other bits. But yeah, Pokemon had some couple of bits of news. And then shortly after that, we had the unveiling of the fifth Smash Brothers Fighters Pass announced. So it's actually out at the time of recording. So the fifth character was actually Byleth. So it's an in-house Nintendo character. Byleth is the main character you play as in Fire Emblem Three Houses. Like with Corrin, you can get male and female version, which is cool. Byleth's really good because he doesn't just use swords, he's got like the different weapons, he's got axe and lance and a bow, so there's a bit of a variety in the work, in the fighting style, which is cool. Alongside the game related announcements, Nintendo did also release their financial details for the 3 months going into all of their up to date financials. And I think it's fair to say the Switch is doing pretty well, Switch has now officially sold over 52 million units, which is a fantastic amount in less than 3 years. It's now outsold the SNES. So it's overtaken the SNES. And you remember the numbers I told you earlier, the estimated Xbox One sales between 48 million and 50.5 million. It means that Nintendo Switch has now also outsold the Xbox One. And this is in less than 3 years, which is really impressive speed to get that amount. Nintendo only have two consoles that sold more, which are the original NES and the Wii. And the NES is within striking distance, so it's widely expected that the Switch will overtake the NES by the end of this calendar year, at least. Nintendo are being, everyone's saying they are being quite conservative with the guesstimates of how many switches they're going to sell this financial year. Still got about 19 million. And fair enough, there isn't a ton of big games currently known for the Switch for these first couple of months. So it is kind of interesting to see how it unfolds and how they do so. We do have Animal Crossing coming out at the end of March, which will all be part of this financial year. So it's whether that pushes any kind of Switch systems, which in Japan, in some territories, it may well do. Another note to do with the console sales is the Switch Lite, which is included in the 52 million. Since launching at the end of September up until the end of December, has sold 5 million units. So in just over 2 months, the Switch Lite has sold 5 million, which is more than I thought it might do, actually. I know the Switch Lite is lied by a lot of people for portability. It has kind of surprised me that it has taken off and sold quite as quickly as it has. That's cool. Moving over to the software for Nintendo. Some big numbers. And we've got the top five, including a game that's done pretty well for itself. The best-selling game on the Nintendo Switch is Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. And that is sitting on just under 23 million copies. I think it's 22.96 or something like that. So it's an insane amount of copies for Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. So that's doing amazingly well. It is a great game, to be fair. It was a lot of fun. So just under 23 million people bought a copy of Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. And it's really good seeing that game doing so well, because Mario Kart 8 is a great game, a lot of fun. And then the second best selling Switch game, these totals are since the game came out, since the game's launched. So second best selling Switch game is Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, which is on over 17 million copies now. So it's doing really well for itself. Really well. Third best-selling game on the Switch is Super Mario Odyssey, which is 16.59 million copies. Which, again, is a pretty solid amount. Doing really well for itself. Fourth best-selling game on Nintendo Switch is Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. The temptation to put a joke in for Matt based on last week's game Junkies is pretty intense, but I will just stay to facts. But Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild is on 16.34 million. it is Nintendo's best-ever-selling Zelda title, I believe. I'm not sure if the past might have done more, but I know it is extremely high figures for a Zelda title. So that's really good to see. Next up is the fifth best-selling game. The one that I was quite surprised to see on this list and the amount is Pokemon Sword and Shield. They are already the fifth best-selling Switch titles, adding the two different versions together to get the total, but between them, they have sold 16.06 million copies in about 6 weeks, 6 or 7 weeks, because they obviously released on the 18th of November, and the status up till the end of December, I think everyone's saying they're going to boycott Sword and Shield and it won't be as successful, and a lot of people say they're going to give it a miss either. Got replaced by new gamers coming into the series, or end up getting it anyway. Because of all the internet chat about boycotting and not buying it, a lot of people were expecting the sales to be much lower than this. So it is really quite amazing to see it so high up in literally 6 weeks, 6 or 7 weeks. It might not even be 7 weeks, probably about 6 weeks that Sword and Shield just smashed it. So yeah, some quite impressive figures there for games. One game that's a bit further down the list that I do want to mention is Luigi's Mansion 3 has sold over 5 million copies, which is really great for the series. I think it's the best-selling entry in the series, which is really cool. So yeah, a lot of big games and big results for Nintendo. We just see if they can keep the momentum up and see how the rest of the year goes and see if they have got any big stuff to compete with PlayStation 5 and the Xbox Series X when they relaunch later in the year. Certainly very different and very interesting. So, that's certainly exciting times for Nintendo, and really good to see where they're going to go with that. But anyway, that is my news bit done. Sorry to waffle on a bit. Now on to the main part of the show. Okay, guys, so we are now looking at a game that I think is massively underrated, and also a return to soundtracks, because I've had a couple of people request that I do some more soundtracks. So this is a game that I think's got a killer soundtrack and a game I think is massively underrated. And that game is Sonic and All-Stars Racing Transformed. For those who don't know much about it, it is a game where pretty much a Mario Kart kind of style, but it's based around Sega games and Sega properties. And also, the Transformed mechanic came from the fact that you could, depending on where you are on the course, your vehicle change. It'd be like either a car, a boat, or a plane. And different things would change on each lap, so it'd be slightly different each lap. It's a great game because it opened up a lot of different routes and possibilities. I think a lot of people did underestimate it a bit. And I think it should have done a lot better than it did, I think. I know some reviews were a bit mixed on it, and I know through reading some other magazines out at the time that some actually reconsidered their scores after playing it for a while. I actually thought it was better than the first thoughts. One thing I did really like about the game is the fact that it was quite difficult and challenging, especially in like the challenge modes. You had like a little map you could work your way through and complete different challenges, like drift challenges or overtaking challenges and stuff like that. There's loads of different challenges, and by completing different parts of the map, you can unlock characters, you can unlock what are called mods, which basically gave your attributes a boost, like speed, control, grip, all that kind of stuff. And what was really cool about the mods is each one was named after Sega consoles. So you had like Mega Drive, Saturn, Dreamcast, and a couple of others. That was really cool. Like I say, it's just really kind of a bit underrated as a game, I think. I always really enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun with it. And like I say, the soundtrack was killer, so I'm going to go through some of my favourite tracks. It's been really hard trying to whittle out just a few of them, and there's some like classic ones and good ones I have not included. Just the soundtrack, I don't know why, I've got it on my phone, I still listen to it really, really often. I just really like the songs, like it's taking a lot of classic Sega's tracks and remixing them, make them sound fresh. And I think it's got the good kind of, you'll probably hear as you go through, like it's got a really good kind of beat behind it, and like they weren't afraid to veer into different genres. Like they did kind of quite a few tracks have a bit of a dubstep kind of vibe to them, like drum bass style drum beats in the background to a lot of them, and And yeah, it's just really interesting to see how they remix the music. And like, because one song I have not included is like Air Carrier, and that was like quite rocky, and it was really cool. But yeah, this is where I'm going to go and start talking through some of the tracks I like. And weirdly enough, the first one I'm going to talk about is the actual title screen. It's a new track for the game. It wasn't kind of an old Sonic game, old Sega music. It's really cool. This is where like the, you can, like straight from the title screen, you could hear like the dubstep influence on the music. So yeah, it did sound pretty cool. As I say, got like a 30 second clip of all the songs. So yeah, this is the title screen music. You know, it's just when you got all the synths and kind of like the dubstep vibe, it's just like, yeah, really quite refreshing and new for a Sega game, especially one which has got Sonic and Sega brand on it. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. And yeah, I still quite like it. Okay, next track I'm going to play you is from the first course of the game, which was Ocean View. Ocean View is inspired by Sonic Heroes, I believe. Yeah, it's really cool. This one was actually changed as you went around, like the third lap, a lot of the stuff dropped down. You end up on a boat for a lot of the third lap, which is really cool. You kind of got used to the mechanics and how it all changed. The Ocean View, I think, is great, because even though it's inspired by Sonic Heroes, it didn't use any music from Sonic Heroes. The music tracks it used were from Sonic CD. I can't remember the name of the track now. I think it was in my soundtrack for Sonic CD bit. But it was one where you had a rap, but it was instrumental in this one. But you had the 10-second countdown still. And also fused it with Super Sonic Racing, which obviously a lot of people know I like that song. One thing I like about this game is a lot of the songs did have like two tracks and they kind of fused them together. I thought it was really cool. But anyway, here's the 30-second segment I've chosen for Ocean View. Yeah, it's just I really like how they kind of had that driving bass behind it, and just that club vibe, the Supersonic Racing bit, and yeah, it's how fresh that the bit from Sonic CD sounded. But yeah, it's like just real nostalgia hit, really. Really enjoyed it. So yeah, I was really wish a lot of these songs I could play more than 30 seconds, because there's a lot of different hooks and loops and stuff like that, and 30 seconds doesn't give the songs justice, so. You can find people's playlists on YouTube with all the soundtrack, which is really cool. I think Deoxys Prime is one that I've used, that I've found a lot of these clips from. So yeah, if you do get a chance to listen to them, please do, because even though I'm doing small snippets of them, like I wish I could play a lot more of them for you. Okay, the next one up is Temple Trouble, which comes from the Super Monkey Ball franchise. Yeah, they had a Super Monkey Ball themed race course, and Temple Trouble was the soundtrack for it. This threw me right back to the GameCube launch with the first Super Monkey Ball game, because it's the music from the first levels in the original Super Monkey Ball. I think Super Monkey Ball is a massively underrated series and franchise. It's a lot of fun, really challenging. Pretty good music in places as well. Yeah, Temple Trouble was just a real nostalgia hit as well. It was how they handled the music. I think it was really good and really cool. But yeah, so here is Temple Trouble. Yeah, so that's Temple Trouble. Like I say, it's a lot of fun. Pretty cool. Yeah, I just like the vibe. And also, a shame I can't get the song it splices into, because that was like the bonus stage music and I kind of completely raved it up, so it sounded like a bit of a rave. But it worked really well together. And like, if you do watch these four videos, it actually has it where it fades from one song to the other. It's all mixed together, so it's really cool if you can get a chance to listen to it, like I said. Just a shame I can't play more than 30 seconds in the podcast, unfortunately. Next up is a track called Seasonal Shrines, and that was based on Shinobi. I've got to admit, I've not really played a Shinobi game, don't know much about the series, apart from it's about like ninja, and you go around assassinating people, stuff like that. It's my first... This Race Course, my first real introduction to music from Shinobi. Not listened to much from the past, but I just really like the oriental edge to it. It's also kind of clubby as well, and so how the beats go. But it's just another song that kind of speaks me up and I really enjoy. So yeah, this is Seasonal Shrines. I think Seasonal Shrines was kind of more as one track. Okay, my knowledge of Shinobi music isn't great, so I don't know for definite. It didn't go between two different tracks, but for me it sounds like it is more just one track, which is really cool though, the fact they did it really well. Like I said, I haven't really heard the original, so I can't comment on how different or how much it sounds like it. But yes, I really did enjoy this music, and the course is great as well. It's more of a race one with a couple of boat sections near the start. So next track up is one I personally love. There are a few standout tracks for me. The Temple Trouble was one. This next one is probably one of my favourite ones, and it is Rogue's Landing, which is from race course based around Skies of Arcadia. Skies of Arcadia is a series I'd love to see come back. It was a RPG on the Dreamcast. It then got ported over to the GameCube as well. And it's basically an RPG set in the world of Sky Pirates. So, like flying ships and stuff like that. And like, there's a lot of floating islands up in the sky, and you basically travel from island to island trying to uncover the mysteries. I really enjoyed that Skies Arcadia game, and I'd love to see a HD remake or like a re-release of it. I think a lot of people would like to see that. The music's pretty cool. So this is the music from Rogue's Landing. Yeah, the great thing for me about Rogue's Landing is hearing it orchestrated, and it's a step up in quality from how it was. Again, it is two tracks fused together. I've only got the one main track. So if you do get to listen to the whole track on YouTube, then please do, because it is it's worth listening. I really enjoy it. Like I said, I just really like how it's orchestrated and sounded really good. Yeah, so that is Rogue's Landing. Rogue's Landing I really liked as a course because added a lot more flying stuff into it. So it's more like as each lap progressed, you kind of have more destruction, because it's like as if the island was under attack and being destroyed. And so the third lap pretty much was just pure flying, because a lot of the course had been destroyed. There was also a little boat section towards the end. You could either go car or boat. The jury's out which one was faster, so people aren't entirely sure which one was fastest, but yeah, it's pretty cool. Next track up is an old classic from the Saturn era, and it is Dream Valley, which is a course inspired by Knights, which is a cult classic game from the Sega Saturn era. Dream Valley is like a classic music from Knights, and again, there's a lot of it just hearing it updated and stuff like that. So yeah, this is Dream Valley. Yeah, so Dream Valley, I think, was really cool. It was primarily just flying and boats on Dream Valley. You didn't have any kind of proper car racing section to it. So it was purely flying and boat. It was a really cool mechanic, because some of the courses did mix it up. So you didn't always have all three racing styles in a... didn't always have... all three racing styles in one course, so it's really cool to see that. I've been aware of a couple that were purely just kind of car and boat, some that just boat and flying, one was just kind of like, some just like car and flying. It's just like, it's really cool how they mixed up, and sometimes you had all three in one, so it's just, yeah, it's a really cool mechanic that I had. Yeah, I really enjoyed Dream Valley, so I thought it was really cool. Anyway, so on to the next one. Next one is a character who actually didn't make it into the game when he was in the original Psychonauts I was racing. Yeah, so I think, unfortunately, the character didn't come back, but he did get a course, and this is Billy Hatcher. It was a course called Chilly Castle, and the song was called Chilly Castle. And Billy Hatcher was a game on the GameCube by Sega. And it was a cool little game, made by Sonic Team, so a good little platformer. A lot of the music for the Billy Hatcher series is kind of what I call ear rhyming, where it's a kind of happy, almost cheesy music that gets stuck in your head. I do really like Chilly Castle. Like I say, it does tend to get stuck in my head a bit. So this is the music for Chilly Castle. Yeah, so Chilly Castle was pretty cool. The course was pretty cool. It was a car and boat course. As like an ice one, so like various ice pals to look out for, stuff like that. It's a lot of fun. Like I said, I really love the music to it. Thought that was a lot of fun. Like I say, it just gets stuck in my head sometimes. So I wouldn't say it's one of my standouts for the game, but it's When looking at the other list of music, I thought I had to conclude it because I think Billy Hatcher doesn't get as much appreciation as it should do anyway. So it doesn't get as much appreciation as it should do as a game. And it's, like I say, it's a bit underrated. Yeah, so yeah, that's why I included Chilli Castle, just to try and give Billy Hatcher a bit more recognition and get it more out there. Okay, next. So that next track is Graffiti City, and this comes from the Jet Set Radio stage, which I thought was really cool. Yeah, Jet Set Radio, as if you remember back to when I first started doing podcasts, I did like the games I'd like to see remade or re-released, and Jet Set Radio is right up there. Yeah, so Jet Set Radio is a game that I really like the style of, I really like the vibe of, and the music was pretty special, pretty cool. Had like a kind of funk kind of vibe to it and a bit more urban. I've decided to put Graffiti City in because I think there's nailed the vibe of the Jet Set Radio soundtrack in this. I have to admit that Matt is a bit prudish about this due to other lyrics, which is probably going to come on. The lyrics are going to be right at the start of the little clip, so that'll make him happy. But yeah, this is Graffiti City. Yeah, so that was Graffiti City. Like I said, I just really like that kind of vibe and edge they had to it, and like the funk. Also, I just think they nailed the Jet Set Radio soundtrack, and it made it sound cool. So I'm probably going to make myself sound really uncool, but just to me, it sounds pretty cool, pretty funky, kind of. It's got its own kind of groove to it. And this course was mainly like a car run, but then the third lap was flying because the arena is, like, the course is getting attacked and stuff like that. Yeah, so some of the course is getting destroyed at various points, so it's really cool like that. Okay, next up is another one I really like, which is Sanctuary Falls. Anyone who's an Asonic fan can probably take a guess at what level this is based on, and it is based on Sky Sanctuary, which is an iconic bit of music in its own right. Yeah, and Sanctuary Falls is great. I really enjoyed it. It was really nice, really good seeing how they recreated it. They said it at the time when you played it in Sonic & Knuckles, so it's kind of like where it's starting to fall apart and things like that, so it's really cool. This was mainly like a car and a flying one, so that's pretty cool. It's just really good seeing it recreated in 3D and just the music, like the iconic music being updated and sounding really like up to date and like. That's just that driving beat behind it. I think it's just, especially for a racing game, they've got the drum beats just right. Kind of like it's like, I know it can seem a bit generic across all the music tracks, but it's that kind of driving beat that really kind of gave a bit of energy and a bit of vibe. And I think that's just my music taste in general, just like a good beat behind music. So anyway, this is Sanctuary Falls. Yeah, so Sanctuary Falls had the Sky Sanctuary music, but it did also include another track from Sonic R, which is Back in Time. So it switched between the two, like the examples I gave earlier of like Ocean View. It's just a shame I can't play more than 30 seconds, otherwise I would try and do like a good minute where you can hear like both bits of music. Sanctuary Falls is great, and like I say, if you can get a chance to try and listen to these music tracks on YouTube. It'd be really cool. A lot of these have all come from one playlist, so if you find a playlist on YouTube, it will be all in one place for you to click through and listen to the songs that I've picked out. But yeah, it's actually falls in a massive nostalgia hit. Like a lot of this game was for me. I was really enjoyed it and thought it was really cool, so yeah, that's my thoughts on Statue Falls. Next up is possibly one of my favourite songs from the game. Now, this is one of my standout ones, along with Graffiti City and Rogue Zanding and Temple Trouble. This is one of the ones that I always try and listen to. And that is Graveyard Gig, which is based around the House of Dead series. Yeah, House of Dead's a great series and great 90s style music. And it's just really great to hear it like orchestrated in places and really brought up to date in the game. Yeah, it just sounds a lot crisper, a lot clearer. It's just like really cool music and a real nostalgia hit from the House of Dead games, like on the Dreamcast, which is really cool. But yeah, this is Graveyard Gig. Yeah, that's a Graveyard Gig. Like with a lot of the other songs, it does fuse two House of Dead tracks together. So again, if you do get a chance to listen to it, really do, because it has like the main music from like the gameplay in House of Dead in there as well. And the track that you heard most of the bits from in this. Yeah, I just really love the vibe of it, really love how it sounds. I just really liked how they modernised it and kind of got a proper organ in it, stuff like that. So yeah, the chorus was really great. It's set around the House of Dead Mansion and surrounding town. From what I can remember, it was mainly a driving one, but it was really cool. You went through various parts of the lab and stuff like that, and it's, yeah, a lot of fun. Really enjoyed that. So yeah, I've got two more music tracks left to go, so I'm almost there. Next track is one I really umdenied about including on the list, because I really like the song, but I'm not entirely sure I'm happy with how they handled it, if that makes sense. Yeah, so that song is Burning Depths from Burning Rangers. Burning Rangers is another game I'd love to see remade and re-released. Well, it was a great game on the Sega Saturn, and I'd love to spend more time in that gaming universe. But it's just, I don't know whether Sega would do it, because it was quite a niche title and a bit of a cult classic, really, because came out fairly into the Saturn's lifetime. So I'm not sure how many people actually had the ability to play it. So I think it might be one that just sits in the background, doesn't really have anything done with it. Yeah, I was really happy to see the Burning Rangers get a course. We would love to see a character, but that didn't happen. Yeah, I was really liked how they updated the rap and stuff like that and made it, like, well, I re-recorded the rap. I think some of the mix is a bit too J-pop for me, but the bit I'm playing you is some of the chorus sections. But it's a shame that in 30 seconds, I couldn't play you the rap and like the chorus bit. But yeah, this is Burning Depths. Yes, that's Burning Depths. What I liked about Burning Depths is it was based around the second level from Burning Rangers, which was at like a underwater aquatics park. Yeah, so it's set in this like aquatics park, which is underwater, and in the original game you went there because there's like fires and explosions and something going wrong. You had to investigate what's causing the fires and basically defeat the big boss, which I think was like a big sea monster that got into the base, which is really cool. Yeah, no, with this you would drive around the base and the aquarium park as it was flooding, because that's another thing in the game, it did start flooding a bit. Yeah, so driving around, and also a few boat sections, a few flooded sections, which was really cool. And some tight corridors, which used to really frustrate me because they're really tight turns and stuff like that. And obviously, because it was a boat, the handling was a bit drifty and wasn't quite as tight. I think overall it's not my favourite song on the soundtrack, but I was really happy to see it get updated and for it to be included in the game. So that's the main reason why I made my list, because I was really happy to see Burning Rangers get some recognition in the game, which is really cool. So I'm up to my last song now, which is Outrun Bay, which is from Outrun, which is really cool. I think it was like a pre-order bonus, this track. I don't know if you could buy it separately or if you had to unlock it. I think if you ordered it, you got it straight away, but you could unlock it by completing challenges and stuff like that. Outrun Bay was really cool. This is, I think, the track where the dubstep influence is the most clear. So I did like a proper dubstep kind of do-over of the song, which is really cool. Sounds really good. It's really cool bit of music. I think Outrun Bay, just really enjoyed it. It was a mixture of car and boat in this one. So driving along so the Outrun roads and then taking onto the bay. You had to dodge past lots of different big yachts and stuff like that. And lots of little stunt opportunities, so that would be really cool. But anyway, here's the music. Yeah, so that was Outrun Bay. Just like I said, it's just really, the dubstep influence really kind of swung out there. It's just a really different way to update that song. Rather than going like the chiptune route or kind of club route, they kind of made a bit, I don't know if dirty is the right term, but like darker and dirtier, the dubstep kind of influence. I know this version of the song did divide a few people. Some people thought it was brilliant. Other people weren't fans. It was really good to see Sega taking risks with their soundtrack and how it sounds. So, and not being afraid to remix it or change it up a bit. So I thought it was really cool. Yeah, so that wraps up my music selection for Cycling All-Stars Racing Transformed. I hope you enjoy those selections of music. Like I say, there's a lot of good music on there. Like, I haven't even touched on the Panzer Dragoon music or the Golden Axe music. There is a lot of other music in there, which is really cool. I hope you enjoyed it. And that wraps up my soundtrack section, really. So, yeah, have a quick talk about what I've been playing, really. Not gonna lie, a lot of my time has been on Pokemon Sword. I am now through the semi-finals and just about to head towards the championship, so I'm all very nearly completed the game now, I think, which is going to sound really bad, but it's quite an achievement for me because I've never really got this far into a Pokemon game before. So Pokemon Sword's really drawn me in and really kept me going, so Yeah, I'm really enjoying it. Looking forward to getting that finished off, hopefully in the next few days. Yeah, it's really good to play that games. Don't forget to check out the Game Junkies podcast next week. Matt and Alex are back. So we've got some fun shenanigans lined up. I have to admit, I had so much fun on the episode that went out last week, which was our top 10 most anticipated games of 2020. Such a laugh, and Matt has always opened up a massive area for me and Alex to have a go at him. Well, not have a go, but kind of tease him a little bit. So, yeah, but it was a lot of fun. Ridiculously funny towards the end. So, don't forget to check those guys out. If you want to find me on social media, I've got my Twitter at ChrisLewis37. And I also have my YouTube channel, which is Chris Reacts. I have been told there are a few Chris Reacts on YouTube, so the best way to find me is to probably go through my Twitter and look for any of the links to videos that I've shared. The most recent one, I believe, was the Pokemon Direct from January. So yeah, I've got that from this month, and it was the reaction to the announcement of the expansion passes and Pokemon Mystery Dungeon. That wraps me up for now, so I will speak to you next time. Thanks for listening, if you still are. See you next time. Bye.
Podcast is a Matt Attack production for the Visionaries Wrestling Network.